Okay. So I do a quick swap over here for the other campaign. Classes and races. So, first off, since you missed the first episode, you'll actually be starting in the awkward teenage years. But we will bring you up to what you need for that. So, here's your basic overview of what's been going on. Zero CE, current era, is the birth of the demigods. In this particular part of the world, the gods really either don't interfere, they're silent, they're blocked, for whatever reason, the actual pantheon does not interfere with this area. There are a small collection of demigods that basically act as gods on the earth itself, in this case. A basically group of eight of them that walk the world since zero CE, that's kind of the big turning point where religion kind of sprung back up. Shrines started to be erected, and actual person-to-person communication between gods was possible. About 500 years later was the major event known as the Fool's War, in which the human kingdoms of Vale and the non-human alliance fought. Non-human alliance mostly consisted of elves and sorcerers, also consisted of gnomes, half-orcs, Rishaki, and Alatorum. This is important for later. During the war, at 543 CE, was the end of magic. The sorcerers and elves had basically teamed up and poisoned the weave. Anybody who attempts to cast something has to interact with that poisonous weave, and as a result, gets injured, poisoned by it. Not so good. Now, regular capabilities, the spell-like abilities don't have this problem. Paladins can still heal on touch. They basically have a small collection of the weave inside themselves, which has been filtered out. So, a lot of the basic stuff is still possible. Next major event at the end of the war, 597, is the Repayment Treaty. This is where everything kind of turns sour. By the time the war ended, there was a court convened to determine how to repay the years of damage, which this is roughly, I think, 80 years of war. Exactly 58 years of war, and basically the destruction of magic, as they refer to it. How to repay the damage done to the kingdoms of Vale, as they came out on top. Elves were turned into chattel to pay off the majority of the debt that they caused on the Kingdom of Vale, and the vague term, a lifetime of service, is what's used for when this is supposed to come up. Now, they didn't specify, is that a human lifetime or an elven lifetime? So elves have kind of got the short end of the stick here. Any of the others who are working with the non-human alliance got off a little bit luckier, but those species are still kind of paying off this war debt through basically either forced labor or other means. The non-elven members of the NHA were given an equally vague half a lifetime of service for aiding the elves. However, any magic user who had sided with the NHA had been executed, as they were blamed for the poisoning of magic. Sorcerers and warlocks were also hunted down and killed, and wizards, on the other hand, are being carefully watched and regulated. So, for the two of you, you are starting as second-generation children who remember nothing about the war as you've grown up. Your parents grew up knowing nothing about the war, but hearing about it from their parents, unless, of course, you're an elf. In which case, you've heard it directly from parents who are still paying it off, and guess what? You are lucky enough, in quotes, to also be in forced servitude. So, that being said, characters can start between the ages of 18 and, or 9 and 18. Current time is 661 CE. What we're going to start with will just be select a race, and then depending on a card reading, you will get a background. Hmm. But you have no character class. You have a total of, let's see, it's 12 for youth, and I think it goes up to 18. So you've got point buy, but you only have 18 points to spend while you're in your youth. Once you hit full adulthood, you'll be able to spend the rest. So as you're creating a character, you've got point buy with only the 18 points right now. After that, you'll add species bonuses onto it, and then any species abilities you'll have access to. Background will be determined in a moment, after you get kind of everything else fleshed out. But otherwise, you practically just start with a race and point assignment.
So what are the available races?
All right, so here are the races, and then there are social status assigned to it. And social status ranges from nobility. You have the right to own chattel and slaves, as well as contract serfs. You can be a citizen. You may not own slaves or chattel, but you can own land and you can contract serfs. Serfdom, which is basically peasantry in this case. You can be contracted by nobles to work, but you may not own land. However, you are a free person. You get to decide if you want to sign that contract or not. Chattel are slaves that are paying off a debt, after which they are free. And if you're enslaved, you're a slave, and no matter how much work you do, you will remain a slave. So, humanity, the tieflings and Asimar are all of noble status. That's as high as they can go. That being said, they can still fall somewhere below based on just their background, where they came from, their family lineage, who they fought during the war, all those kind of things. Asimar have a tendency to restrict themselves to citizen status, though. That connection to the divine tends to make them lean quite a bit more towards, well, slavery's not the answer and isn't a good thing. But there are a few fallen Asimar who will take slaves. In terms of just regular citizenship, so people who can own land and contract serfs, you've got dwarves, halflings, and dragonborn. In terms of serfdom, you've got half-elves and gnomes. And then in terms of chattel, so people who are capable of paying it off, half-orcs, Rishaki, and Alatorum. And then when it comes to fully enslaved, you have elves and Prometheans. There are a couple of the rare races, so these are going to be from Volo's Guide. The Tabaxi are chattel, they're often mistaken for Rishaki. Kenku are also chattel, mistaken as monsters most of the time, but they are highly sought after by nobility for their skills. Lizard folk are enslaved, treated as monsters. The Triton are chattel, they are seen as outsiders, often seen as monstrous. Goliaths can make it up to serfdom, but they tend to frighten the general populace due to their size. And then the Firbolg are also enslaved, as they are seen as monstrous. So what you're kind of getting is humanity took over, they put themselves on top, and in general, they're scared of a lot of other people. So they have done their best to put them in a place where they don't have to worry about them, in quotes. So those are what's available.
So when will we find out our background?
After you get everything set up.
So you have to choose a race before you get a background?
Choose a race and assign points.
Oh, wow. Yep.
I mean, you can aim towards a class of where you want to go. You'll be able to pick your class. You just don't have access to it yet. You will gain a class as you go through your youth, and that will come from kind of experience, finding a teacher, all these kind of things to get you to a point where you go from just kind of regular person to an adventurer. So for right now, everybody starts with 6 hit points plus whatever your constitution modifier is, and that's what you've got to work with. But as I mentioned to the others, don't worry, you'll be gaining levels pretty quickly. Things have this odd way when you randomly select stuff to work out.
I think I know where I want to go with this, and it's a much more serious character than what I mentioned before.
Okay. What are you thinking?
Well, what I'm hoping to do is make a human that's a fighter, dual wields, and the human variant is available once we get
to yes. In fact, you start with that.
Nice.
It's a racial ability, so you start with those benefits. So you pick human variant, you get the plus two to two different stats, or plus one to two different stats, and a feat. And a skill?
Yeah, a skill. Yeah.
So yeah, you start with that, whereas most people don't start with a skill proficiency until they get their background. You'll have a skill of your choice and whatever you get from background.
And I'm kind of hoping she becomes a pirate.
Nice.
And
could be.
I
mean, there are definitely other forms of...
focuses on raiding slave ships and freeing slaves.
Nice.
So, I kind of want her to... And it would be really great if she got nobility so she could just, like, stick it to her family.
I'm just thinking of this from the angle of what race have I always really wanted to try that I haven't tried yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one that I can come up with is Asimar.
They are pretty fun. They've got a couple of interesting variations, too.
Yeah.
You've got, what, the two good aligned and then the one fallen? I'm trying to remember what they are name-wise. But, yeah, they're pretty neat in terms of racial abilities.
I don't actually have the materials for them, so...
I think I can go grab the book real quick.
That's the Volo's guide is like the one thing that I don't have.
I can grab that pretty quick.
Okay. So I did get the invitation for the Obsidian Portal, but I didn't get an email or anything for it, so I just would have to go to the website to see it.
Mm.
And I don't go to the website anymore.
Alright. Point by. Okay, so 18 points point by at this point. It's like 1 point until you hit 13 or 14, then it starts stepping up to 2 points. It's not too bad, all things considered.
Alright, so how's it going to work when you get the rest of your point by?
You remove any racial modifiers that you added to it. You go back to point by and buy up from where you were. So you don't redo your stats. You add on to what you've got. And then once you're done there, you'll re-add your racial benefits.
Okay,
So definitely mark where your racial bonuses come from so you can, quote-unquote, fix it later. The other option is write down what you're going to have now and then write down what you want later. And just kind of do both at the same time. But both of those will work out.
So it's basically if you put like 5 points into something now and you eventually want a 15 in it, you just put another 4 when you get the...
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, the whole bit with like removing the racial modifiers is to make sure you're not getting gypped out of points.
Yeah.
And that way you can actually end up with like a 16 or 17 depending on your bonuses if you want to be hyper focused. Let's see. Right now we have a barbarian, Goliath, and it's either a human rogue or a human bard. Let me see if we wrote his class down. Or at least that's what they're hoping to go towards. Yeah, I can't remember which way he wanted to go. Maybe it was a ranger. Yeah, that's what we've got so far. Barbarian, and then either rogue or ranger. I think it was. I don't think he was going to go fighter.
Oh, that's right. Hmm? You can't actually rename files or folders if I have them open.
Yep. These are in use. Write protected.
Okay.
We had a whole process and a half for determining background, family, and a lot of other stuff that builds up a bit more character, which I think we'll do once we meet up again, just because I don't have the materials Jason does. And it was actually pretty interesting and straightforward. Gives you a little bit more kind of focus of where you come from. Especially with siblings, like family actually ends up playing a pretty important part, since a lot of this is me creating quests and ideas off of character background to make it a little bit more interactive and connected, instead of just, you know, oh, off to fight the dragon again. Ah, yes.
Normally at 18, so it needs to get 9.
Yep. End up with 9 more points at the end of all this. Any idea what class you might be aiming towards, Maria?
Probably cleric.
Okay.
Just one of the classes that I haven't touched yet. And it feels fitting for an SMR.
Definitely. Clerics and paladins hit pretty heavy.
Yeah. Because I'm sort of trying to recreate the Deva cleric that I played I played once in a couple of the 4E game online or something. The one where half of the party was knocked out in a fight, and the other half of the party took all the loot for themselves.
Screw you guys.
Yeah, that was the point at which I'm like, no, I'm not feeling this.
I'm out. Alright, clerics, wielders of divine powers of the demigods. Clerics are revered for their connection to those demigods. Clerics have to deal with the poisoned weave, causing them damage anytime they cast a spell. You will be familiar with the 8 gods and goddesses. They're the new pantheon, as you knew them. Cernos, Mayuri, Voris, the Shadow, Zotal, Patron, Minerva, and Rasha. So you will be able to pick one of them once you hit that point to determine who you want to follow and who you're going to have a bit of a relationship with. Since these demigods actually walk the earth, you will spend quite a bit more time chit-chatting with them, being able to actually have more of a hard connection than the usual vagaries of a deity.
Okay, that works out well.
Got it planned?
Yeah.
Nice. Other little bits of background before we hit the major kind of heavy work. Since the two of you are at the capability of being nobility, you'll likely be townies from Knife's Edge. This is the very northmost, or one of the northmost cities between the kingdoms of Vale to the south and the northern reaches. It got the name Knife's Edge because it was during the war, the Knife's Edge against the enemies. It's got a lot of old ruins around it, things that were destroyed during the war and definitely not upkept after, especially with no major enemy or threat out there. Things kind of fell by the wayside. That said, it's a probably medium-sized town, not quite a city. Still has a good number of nobility and people living inside of it. So it's kind of that sweet point in the middle where it's enough to get yourself in trouble, but at the same time, you can not everybody knows your name. Just most people. Okay. So you've got stats assigned. Okay. What feat do you want to go with?
Dual wields.
Oh, nice, yeah. Okay. I'll bring up literature reading. So, background. Tarokadak. That's where I started putting. Can't even remember my own system.
So we have 18 points to start with?
Mm-hmm. I was under character creation. Dang it. Okay.
Nice. The website that I use for this lets me adjust how many I have to start with.
Sweet. That does make it pretty simple.
Mm-hmm. And it lets me factor in my race. Although it doesn't do the sub-race for it.
That does make a bit of a difference with SMR. Mm-hmm. Which sub-race are you going for?
Protector.
Okay.
Actually, it looks like it does factor that one. Protector is the only one that it does. Okay.
This was designed for you.
All right.
Beautiful.
What do we want to do? The clerics actually run off of?
Wisdom. Wisdom is their skill. Which makes them like top tier of the magic world. Because fifth edition is all about dexterity and
Dex
wisdom.
And wiz.
If you can get both of those, you are the quote unquote top tier class.
Yep.
Which is part of the reason why I really like any class that takes a little bit away from dex, a little bit away from wisdom.
Yeah, that's kind of how my build is, because she dual wields, which all light weapons are finesse weapons, mm-hmm. but since she has the dual wielder feat, she can use one-handed weapons,
yep.
which go off strength, so she's going to be more strength-based. Yeah.
That is a nice way to be able to do it. Don't have to rely on light to be able to swing.
And I've actually, once we get classes, because I'm assuming we can pick any class we
yes.
want.
I'm not going to force that on you. Yeah. I figured the main reason why I want to hold off on it is give you a moment to kind of play the character, see where they're going. They'll probably be going where you're expecting they're going. But with some of the more random elements in there, it's like, well, maybe I want to change it a bit. So. I also like the idea of starting players in that odd place of like, well, you don't have a class. And that's weird and different.
Yeah,
makes it memorable.
I'm more of a role-playing person than a mechanics person, so I love this idea.
Starting fresh. Yep. And I wanted to pull background and make that something that is given instead of... is given instead of chosen. Just because sometimes the weird things happen. Sometimes you don't choose your fate of how you got where you were. Mm-hmm. And in this case, that's the case. That being said, you can always work around it. I mean, yeah, it's potentially 2 skill points and some other stuff, but...
It's kind of how my character for our current game ended up, where she was in training to become a cleric, and then her harrowing event happened for her haunted background, and she ended up becoming a warlock and lost, like, all of her healing abilities.
With these dark powers.
Yep. She went from Ilmater to the Raven Queen, which is, like, complete...
A bit of a switch.
Yeah. Complete opposite ends of the spectrum.
Alright. Do you get stats assigned?
Yep.
Okay.
Actually not too terrible. I feel like I've run with a character that has these stats just by rolling them up. Which is a little sad.
I've probably done the same. What do you mean only 18 points? No, that's right. That's normal. That's what I roll. Alright. So, 2 of you. We'll have to do this in a bit of a weird way, simply because we don't know about your parents or family right now. You've both grown up in the town of Knife's Edge. This is where you spent your life. When you were... And I guess that's going to be the next question. So, starting phase, what age would you be? You can choose between 5 and 12. As in between those numbers, not between those two options.
You're 5 and 12.
Curse you, English. We've got the barbarian is, I think, 12 years old, and the halfling, the Goliath, because he's not a barbarian yet, he's barbarian culturally, is 12 years old. He comes from a barbarian society. He's from up north. He's a legit barbarian.
Like a Ulfgaard tribesman.
Mm-hmm. And the halfling is 10, just to give you a feel for
the older end of the spectrum.
Yeah, they're on the older age.
Let's go middle ground for mine and say 9.
Okay. That leaves.
I'm almost tempted to make mine the youngest of the group.
Go for it.
I have to keep an eye on her. I don't know how to play a 6-year-old girl, though.
Stop taking your ADD meds.
I'm not on any.
Ingest a lot of sugar and caffeine and you'll get there.
I don't have the energy to play a 6-year-old girl.
7? 8?
I don't have a lot of energy as a 6-year-old anyway.
I mean, there you go, yeah. I mean, this is medieval era, so... Everybody's working anyways.
We'll go with 7. I vaguely remember being 7.
That was a part of my life at some point.
That happened to me once.
So 7 and 9. These are good things to keep track of, because with the time jumps, I will give you the amount of time that we skip. The next jump is 6 years, so you'll be 6 years older when we actually meet as a group. So that'll put you at what? Lucky 13 and 15?
15, yes.
Yeah. So yes, right in the center of those awkward teenage years. Perfect. Alright, so ages as you are, you've grown up together, you've probably been friends, spent time together. Again, we'll find out more about parents and siblings later, but...
Foxit reading crashes once again. Jesus Christ.
Every time.
What is wrong with this thing? This is a terrible program.
But it's the time of the year for the festival. There's a large collection of foods that become available. A lot of people come in from other parts, from some of the smaller hamlets and villages nearby, and big get-together for everybody. Two of you have been kind of meandering around, seeing stuff, getting some food. You probably have a bit of spending money. Either you've saved up for this point, or you just always have pocket change. Again, things we'll find out. But you come across one part that really kind of catches your interest because nobody else seems to be paying it much mind. There's this old kind of traveler's wagon, kind of a Romani, if you want a our world equivalent, with an old crone sitting on the steps to it, shuffling a deck of cards, and she seems to kind of spot the two of you and lock eyes with you for a second or two, then goes back to kind of shuffling. Nobody else seems to pay her much mind or even notice her, which is kind of strange. So that, at the very least, piques your interest or curiosity a bit.
You know what else is kind of strange? This book doesn't actually give a physical description of what SMR look like.
I got a picture. But yeah, it's...
They just give you the same size as humans.
Yep.
Okay.
You're basically humans with, what, divine blood? Angelic blood?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, a physical descriptor would be nice.
It's vague enough. The usual I've seen are very, very light-skinned, like Scandinavian-skinned, almost.
The one in the picture is purple.
Yeah.
Looks like she's built like a deva.
That one might be more of a deva. But yeah, they have kind of a large collection of sizes, shapes, etc., and so on.
Just gonna...
Is that human blood?
Go to the Forgotten Realms wiki, see what it tells me.
That might give you a little bit more of a description. So, I'm going to assume you are somewhat responsible for her.
Yeah.
But outside of that, you've probably had some time to meander around the festival, get some food. But this is the first thing that's actually kind of felt out of place compared to everything else.
Okay,
everything
so
else has been what you've expected from year to year, what you've come to know, and this is the first oddity, and nobody else seems to care about it.
I definitely go over there to check it out.
Okay. Do you bring young insert name here?
Jasmal.
Hmm?
Jasmal.
Jasmal?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit, I haven't given her a name yet. It's like that old joke where you come across the NPC.
What's your name? Give me a second.
We could just kill you. No, you can't. I'm in person.
I've got a name.
Really? What is it? Shit, I didn't give him a name.
I've got a name and a family. What's your wife's name? Double shit. I was not prepared. Human names can be anything, kind of range.
Yes.
You've got a bit more of a Asiatic influence in this area, so Russian to Taiwanese to Australian, I would say, would be more prevalent here. Location-wise, this is actually, Western Valadrian. So for those who remember the other four seasons, that was Eastern Valadrian. So this is what's on the other side of those mountains and the endless wilds. Lands here are a lot more mountainous, lighter on the forests, but more borealis forest than regular forests. And where you guys are, it's a little bit snowier most of the time since you're closer to the north, but you still get summer. It exists.
Mm.
So we got names and descriptions at this point.
Go with Haruka.
Sure. We'll get family name later. Once we get family, it will be more important.
Yeah.
Because your parents need last names. And potential siblings need last names. All right. So, this brings us back to the question of, are you bringing her along, or is she just going to tag along anyways?
Yeah, I kind of growl her along.
Okay. What's your race?
Human.
Human, okay.
So as you approach, the old crone looks up at the two of you again with a bit of a smile on her face. Perhaps we can help each other out.
Perhaps.
I've noticed your coin purses have gotten quite light since you've been spending time at the festival.
It happens.
How old are you? You went 9, right?
Yeah, 9.
Very matter of fact at this point.
Yeah.
Well, if you would allow me to read your fortune, I perhaps could aid you with a little coin.
Well, I had my eye on this sweet bun, but yeah, let's go with this.
Well, with this you could
someone
buy
stole your sweet roll.
With this you could buy another. Mm. Maybe even more. And
money
with
can
that,
be exchanged for goods and services.
She rolls her fingers and suddenly you see a gold coin appears between them as she rolls them back. She holds the coin out and then you watch as she taps to the side and from behind can see a second coin.
I give her applause.
You're very respectful 9-year-old.
Of those who deserve it, maybe. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Very well. I will need each of you to draw a card. And she shuffles a very old deck. The edges are very kind of folded and dog-eared. The backs of the cards are quite heavily scratched. And she holds them out. Please reveal the card. She looks it over. Dark Lord, yes. That is an interesting one. This actually fits you perfectly. Out of character. Well, I see this tells me more about you and your parents.
Does it now?
Your future it doesn't speak much to. But I see a gold coin is nothing unfamiliar to you or your parents.
I've seen more than a few.
And how about you, little one?
She probably can't read that. She's only 7. She can't read words that have 3 syllables.
It says marionette.
Next question is, do I know what that word is? No, I don't.
Probably not.
No. I know what a puppet is.
Yeah,
it means puppet.
Oh.
There's a show you can go see. This is an interesting card. It speaks to your potential. Or what could potentially happen to you. For now, that's all I need in terms of fortune telling. She provides each of you a gold coin. Perhaps if you come back later, when you've grown a little,
sure,
I can reveal more about who you are. So these are your major arcanas. You got the Dark Lord, which means your parents have hit nobility status, and your background will be the noble. You will grow up rich and wealthy, but that will clearly kind of change who you are. You will probably see the darkness and corruption that comes from that nobility and that power.
This really did work out well for me.
Mm-hmm. And the marionette generally speaks to the act of control. Whether it's being controlled or controlling others. Your background will be the charlatan.
Okay.
with one gold coin richer, you probably turn your attentions back towards the festivities. Maybe take a few steps and then look behind you to see if she's still there. She's gone. Wagon's gone too. And you start to wonder, maybe that's why other people didn't pay her much mind.
You know, my parents told me about talking to strangers, and I generally don't listen to them.
We all know it's all about strange strangers.
She was pretty strange.
Very. All right. Let's quickly add other players. Next. Go. You've been sent. Okay. So yeah, the first episode they went through was a short little adventure, finding their way to the fortune teller, basically. Then read their fortunes, and then they made their way back home. They ended up with the Mists, which gave one of them Sailor as a background. Mm-hmm. And that was the Halfling. The Rogue, Barbarian ended up with Soldier. And I'm trying to remember... Actually, I can look it up. What was your Major Arcana? Oh, he's gone and changed the sheet on me. The Broken One. Right. That was his Major Arcana. So, part of the reason why I've got you to draw these is because you will be able to use good fortune and bad fortune to call upon this Major Arcana to potentially resolve events. You can end up spending, and I'll bring it up so I get the numbers right, a certain amount of it to, in some cases, literally resolve a scene simply by calling on your Arcana. Alright, Taroka Fortune. All right. Yeah, okay. So there have been added a few new differences to how I'm going to play around with good and bad fortune. For both player and DM, you can impel a major arcana for a benefit. However, doing so forces four black bad fortune tokens onto your character, which means they have to be spent on you before they go back to the pool. However, in doing so, you can impel a benefit from your major arcana. In your case, Dark Lord, you can call upon the wealthy parents or some of that background to end certain scenarios without necessarily having to succeed at a skill check. The downside is... because you're impelling this fate, and because it's your major, it's the more powerful one, it's going to incur a lot of bad luck on your behalf. But sometimes it's the only way out. You will eventually get some minor arcanas. You get those as you go through your youth. These will have different meanings, and again, for two bad fortune, you can impel a benefit from a minor arcana. These may provide other smaller benefits, more potentially statistically based in combat or outside of combat, depending on what you draw. Now, there's also the chance of just pure prophecy. You can put two good fortune and two bad fortune on yourself and draw a minor arcana, and you will get that benefit for the rest of the session. So you're basically... pulling on this idea that something has been prophesied about your character, and this now will come to pass. And this will help kind of guide how it goes from there. That being said, the DM may also draw one of these for a character and force it on them for the session. The DM may impel you negatively against your major or minor arcanas and give you good fortune. So I can say, you've got two good fortune out here. You guys aren't using a lot of good fortune. I'm going to impose something bad on you and give you good fortune, so you got to spend it to give it back to the pool. And I get to mess with you a little bit. I figured I needed a way to keep the system from hitting, like, all good fortune and then it getting static there. So I figured the deck might be a good way around that. That being said, you can still, or still will be able to use good fortune as you normally would from the pool, and that'll do the regular flip. So you may also want to try to mess with that a little bit if you want to access some of the Taroka abilities. If you want to, you know, impel some benefits, or potentially set yourself up for some negatives, make sure that's feasible with the current set of the deck. Otherwise, that's systematically, that's kind of what's been added. And then thematically, I'm hoping to kind of focus around what you've really kind of grabbed onto, Robert, is this mentality of even your parents in particular, probably all for slavery, strictly because of that Dark Lord background.
Yeah.
Or potentially your guardians, shall we say. You, both of your parents could be dead at this point. You might be living with your grandparents who are, what, survivors of the war, actually, if they're still around, which would definitely make some sense if that ends up being how it goes. But yeah, either way, I definitely want to focus on this idea of there's no necessarily like central bad guy. It's society as a whole that has some problems. And what do you as heroes value, and what are you going to do potentially to try to change it, if you want to change it? Which is the party so far, we don't have anybody who's, you know, all nobility gung-ho in the idea of keeping the status quo, so I think I know which way we're leaning, which is good for writing. So yeah, kind of general benefits from impelling arcanas. You're looking at either +2 or -2 bonuses from minor arcanas, or the effects of a second level spell. For a major arcana, you're looking at getting advantage or disadvantage, and then gaining the effects of a fifth level spell or lower. But they can obviously have some more less mechanical, more story-driven means behind them. All right. But otherwise, that's a basic introduction. We'll probably do more character creation stuff when we first meet, just to get family all worked out, see what that looks like for people. And I just need to keep track of these, but otherwise we are good to go for tonight. Now that we have basically hit 12. Holy crap. Yeah, I'll probably start basic character. Actually, no, since the two of you have more name and other information, I'll leave the character creation on the portal to you guys. And yeah, next Wednesday we'll get things worked out. Yep. You've already been invited, so all you need to do now is accept, make a character, and if you don't have these written down, I will add them.
Perfect.